bring a message this morning called The Sound of Freedom. And I'm kind of borrowing this title from the movie that's recently been released, and I'm really doing it as kind of a hook to get your attention about something that God wants to do for us and something that's in his heart for each of us. But I do want to just quickly just comment. I want to encourage you. I think it's good for you to see that movie, and it's, you know, the movie about a man who courageously goes and rescues children from sex trafficking. And it's been alarming and concerning that there have been pockets of people and political movements that have resisted or criticized or dismissed the premise behind that movie. It's alarming, it's concerning, and I think in many ways it's telling. And gosh, if there's something that if there's something we ought to be able to unite around, it ought to be rescuing children from sex trafficking. Amen. Come on. I mean, that's really troubling that that's created political divisions. If you go see the movie, you'll see. If you've seen it, you know. When you see it, you'll see that there's nothing political about it. It's a true story about a man who goes and helps a family to rescue their children from sex trafficking, and in the process kind of uncovers a network of traffickers. And so I want to encourage you to go see that movie. But really what I want to encourage you with today, and I'm using that as kind of the hook to encourage you, that in the same way that in the movie, that courageous individual goes and rescues those children physically, Jesus came courageously, left his throne, came to heaven, or came to earth, rather, as a man, laying down all the benefits of deity, the Bible says, to rescue you and I from slavery spiritually. And so I want to just encourage you today, the heart of God for you is to experience freedom. And I want to talk to you today about five key areas where we tend to get held back or hindered from moving forward to the freedom that Jesus has for each of us. And it's not just kind of free or sort of free. The Bible says that if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And so here's what I've learned in my life. There have been some times where just a word from God, a moment with God in his presence has set me free from a stronghold or a mental hang up or an area of sin or bondage in my life. And there's some other areas in my life where I have and I continue to need to do what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, submit to God, humble yourselves before God, and resist the enemy. In other words, present your situation, your circumstance, your challenge, your need to the lordship of Jesus, to the power and the authority of his word, and resist the enemy. And then it says, and the enemy will flee. And so it implies an ongoing process. And here's the statement, is that many times, freedom is not a destination, it's a journey, it's an ongoing thing that we have to walk out in our life. And here's the truth, is that there is not one of us that doesn't have an area in our life where we do not need greater levels of freedom that Jesus makes available through his shed blood, through his risen life, and through walking in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say that again. There's not one of us, even all, this room filled with believers, there's not one of us that doesn't have some area of our life, some mindset, some behavior, some stronghold, some issue, some challenge where we do not need God's level, God's freedom in a greater way or a greater measure. And so if there's an area where you've got, a mental challenge, a mental stronghold, an area of sin or bondage, just be encouraged. You're in good company. It's something that we all need is ongoing levels of and new measures of freedom and deliverance. So freedom is being healed and breaking free of anything and everything that has or could hold you back or hinder you from pursuing, from running forward, from moving forward in freedom and faith towards the future that God has for you. His purposes, his presence, his people, his promises. So God's heart for you is freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Freedom from the pain of your past. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from legalism, just the rules and rituals and trying to perform to earn acceptance with God. Freedom from strongholds of sin, addictions, inner vows. An inner vow is typically our response to a painful chapter in life, and it typically goes something like this. On the other side of the painful moment or experience, we make a vow to ourselves, I'll never do that again, or I'll always do this way. And oftentimes, here's the problem with that, is it makes us the Lord of that area of our life. What do you do when you say, I'll never get involved in a church again, when God clearly has called you to be a part of community? What do you do when you say, I'll never let a man hurt me again, when God's clearly called you to have relationships and to love and be loved? And so God wants to set us free from these things, inner vows, word curses, things that you've spoken over yourself or things that were spoken over you, mental strongholds, mindsets, patterns of thinking that don't line up with God's word, generational iniquities, which are unbiblical mindsets or patterns of behavior that may have been modeled before you or handed down to you. Some maybe intentionally, but most of them unintentionally, because how many know many of the ways that we kind of see the world and those patterns of behavior, those generational iniquities are caught more than they're taught, right? Through the ways that we observe, the ways that our families did certain things, or the way that people that we talked about other races, or the way that we talked about women, or the way that we viewed or talked about marriage or finances or God. A lot of times those things make an imprint on our life and create a generational iniquity, which is a bent towards a certain behavior. So these are things that God wants us to be set free from. And free indeed, again, not just partially free, not just kind of free, but again, a lot of times it's a journey to freedom. It's an ongoing process of submitting to God and resisting the enemy. So the freedom of Jesus is comprehensive. But before I get into that point, actually, I want to stop and I just want to acknowledge the Lord and just pray over our time in the Word like we do often. I'll pray corporately, and let me challenge you, encourage you, invite you to pray individually. Open your heart to God. Ask Him to speak to you. No doubt in this room, this subject matter is going to touch on some things that, I believe every person in this room, there's at least one area in our life where we need greater measures of the freedom that Jesus has made possible for us. So let's get to praying. Open your heart, seek the Lord, ask Him to speak to you, ask Him to minister to you. He knows your name, He knows your challenges, He knows your struggles, He knows your past, He knows your future. That's a good future filled with hope, according to His word. And Lord, so we just come before you. We ask you, Lord, would you speak to us today? Would you speak to us today, Lord? Would you encourage us, strengthen us, God? Would you reveal to us or remind us of, God, some things that you have spoken over us, some things that are in your heart for us, God? Thank you that your heart is for us to run free, Lord, to run our race, Lord, to be free, Lord, of anything, any hindrances, any strongholds, any bondages that have held us back or could keep us from moving forward and running the race of faith that you have outlined for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that your heart is to do that, and you can do it today, God. We thank you, Lord, that your heart today is to bring healing, to bring strength, to bring freedom, to bring renewal, to bring restoration, to bring fresh faith and courage and strength for the future that every one of us has, Lord. We open our hearts. I'm asking you, God, today, would you use an imperfect person, an imperfect message to reveal your heart, the heart of a good father, a perfect father? And thank you, Lord, for your heart to see us in new ways and greater ways and increased measures, Lord, living in the freedom of Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And come on, if you receive any or all that for yourself, your marriage, your family, your future, give the Lord a big amen. Okay, so the freedom of Jesus is really comprehensive. There's no area of our life that God's heart is not for the freedom of Jesus to visit that place, to bring healing, to bring breakthrough, to bring a renewed mind. And Isaiah 61, I'm going to touch on a couple scriptures that recently I kind of gave kind of a glancing blow. I kind of touched on it in a couple previous messages, but the Lord just kind of called me back to a couple of these scriptures, and just is calling me to kind of dig in a little deeper for us today in the context of the sound of freedom. And Isaiah 61, verse 1 says this, and it's a prophetic passage about the anointing that would rest upon Jesus, about the assignment that Jesus was called to, and now the anointing, the grace, the assignment that you and I carry as Christ's followers. And it says this: He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. So for many years, I saw this kind of as one concept, but the Lord really began to show me that He's actually very intentionally trying to convey two separate principles to us: freedom for the captives and freedom for the prisoners. And here's what I believe He's saying is that there are some areas, I'll just use myself for an example, there's some areas where I have really done the thing, said the thing, thought the thing, committed the sin, and I really was deserving of the punishment that was due for that. And here's the good news of the gospel is obviously that Jesus came and took that punishment upon Himself so that I didn't have to take it. But there were things that I did the stuff. I had the thoughts. Because of my own pride, sin, rebellion, I really committed the sins. And I was a prisoner of my own behavior. But then there are some other areas in my life that there were some things that were done to me, some things that were said to me. I didn't deserve to have the boy across the apartment complex introduce me to pornography when I was 5 years old. That didn't deserve that. Didn't deserve to experience sexual molestation from a family member when I was even younger than that, 4.5 years old. And so there's things that are done, unfair, unforeseen, unexpected, painful things that happen to us that actually cause us to enter into captivity. Things you didn't deserve, things that were out of your control, things that were perpetrated against you, areas of abuse, words that were spoken over you, love that was withheld from you, that can also cause us to be in bondage and prevent us, again, anything that keeps us from moving forward in faith and freedom towards the future that God has for us, his promises, his plans, his presence, his purposes for your life and for my life. So here's the good news. Jesus came to deal with both of those things. The areas where we really did the stuff because of our own pride, sin, and rebellion, and the areas where there were things that were perpetrated against us, spoken against us, or done to us that we didn't deserve, didn't anticipate. Both of those places where we find ourselves in the bondage or in the strongholds that could keep us from really running our race and enjoying the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, Jesus came to set you free. Is there an area where you're a captive in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationships today? The heart of God expressed through the cross of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his risen life is to set you free. Are there some places where you really did the thing, said the thing, whatever, are dealing with the addiction, struggling with the challenge? Today, the heart of the Father expressed through the cross, the shed blood, the risen life of Jesus Christ is to set you free. And my heart, my hope, my prayer, my belief is that today there's going to be some testimonies that fit in both categories. There's going to be some instantaneous, miraculous provision of freedom and healing. And there are going to be some processes that begin to be walked out of presenting, submitting to God, resisting the enemy, which implies a process, an ongoing process, a period of time of submitting to God. God, your word says this, your heart is for me to be healed and free. I'm resisting the enemy, and that we will begin to experience testimonies of the enemy fleeing and us experiencing greater levels of freedom. I really believe that some of us are one revelation, one reminder, one rededication or commitment to kind of doing what I'm encouraging us to do, James 4:7, submit to God and resist the enemy from breaking free of some things that have held you down or held you back, because the enemy is a liar and Jesus came to make you free. So last week when I was preaching about the power of peace, I made the statement, I think every one of us would readily agree that we desire more of the peace of Jesus. But I asked a question, I said, but are we willing to make the changes necessary to live the way that postures and positions us to experience the peace of Jesus? And I think the same question applies to this message. I think all of us would say, you know, I mean, let me just say, who would like to experience more of the freedom of Jesus? Okay, it's readily available, it's his heart. But now the question that all of us have to wrestle with is, are we willing to make the changes? Are we willing to posture ourselves to walk in that freedom? You know, Jesus asked a kind of a strange but kind of powerful question. Remember when he approached the man at the pool of Bethesda and he said, do you want to be made well? It's like, Jesus, that guy's been struggling with this for years and years and years, but I think it underlines something very significant that I've actually experienced and in some ways, in ongoing ways, continue to experience. And that's this, we can kind of get comfortable with something that's killing us. We can get comfortable with captivity. And the question today is, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free from the thing? And I know it sounds like a silly question, but we can actually fall into that trap. That is the trap that the people of Israel, remember, experienced. God put it on full display for us when the people of Israel were radically delivered from bondage and slavery, and just a few miles down the road, remember what they were saying? Maybe we should just go back. At least back there we had this, 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 and this. And so there's a journey to freedom that requires us to do our part, which is get real with God and present our stuff before God. And then God can do his part, which is set us free, heal us, make us whole, and keep us moving forward in freedom and faith towards the future and the purposes and the promises that we have in God. Because you know, the people of Israel set free miraculous fashion from the place of slavery. And then a few more miles down the road, they found themselves being chased down by something they had been set free from. In that case, the people of Egypt who were marching after them, remember the chariots and the horsemen, marching after the people of Israel. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my life. Something that I once was kind of set free from, and I look up and it's like, man, that's that mindset, that's that behavior, that's that place, that's that ditch that I tend to slide in when I get kind of drift from my time with God or whatever. And so today I believe that the Lord wants to do what he did in that situation in a physical sense. He wants to drown those armies. He wants to drown those spirits, those assignments where you've been set free from something, but it's chasing you down today. My hope, my heart, my prayer is that this message will come and completely drown, bring a separation, bring a fresh day, bring a new day, bring fresh hope for the future that you have towards the promised land that God has for you in Christ. All right, so now I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. Didn't I mention that earlier on? Genesis chapter 12. And this is the story of Abram being called to become the father of faith. And I touched on this a couple weeks ago, but just kind of in a glancing way, and I'm going to dig into this a little bit more, because as I just kind of touched on the revelation as one of the kind of many points I had in a message a couple weeks ago, today I want to dig into this kind of uniquely, this concept of this idea that we can tend to settle for less than God's best. We can tend to settle. We can tend to kind of settle into a place of complacency or comfortability with captivity. And we can't afford to settle. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he's calling Abram out to become the father of faith. And watch what he challenges Abram to have to do to experience this promise of God. He says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people,'" your translation might say your relatives, "'and your father's household to the land that I will show you.'" In other words, he's saying, Abram, if you're going to become Abram, and aren't you grateful, by the way, for the ways that the Lord has kind of renamed you, some of the labels that the world has tried to put on you or some of the things that were spoken over you, God's given you a new name. This is a little bit subtle, but it's a powerful principle. God has a way of renaming you and then not allowing you to get caught into the labels or the names that the world has tried to put upon you. But he says, Abram, if you're going to become Abraham, if you're going to become the father of faith, you are going to have to be willing to get up and get out and move out from some of the previous patterns and people that have been influencing you. And so in this case, it's about his family who were worshipers of the sun, moon, and stars. And he's saying, you want to come and be the father of faith, you're going to have to get up and get out of this atmosphere of these influences that are worshiping the sun, moon, and stars, and you're going to have to go to a place where you're going to begin to build your own life, your own faith, and you're going to begin to worship the true and living God. And so for him, it was family, and obviously God's about family, but so this isn't about rejecting family or anything like that, but this is about recognizing and realizing that there might be some ways and there might be some places that God's calling you to get up and get out of some relationships, some influences, some mindsets or patterns of behavior. He's calling you forward to a new place of faith and freedom, to become who God's calling you to be, to do what he has called you to do, to reach the promised land that he has for you. You might have to be willing to leave some things behind. And you can't afford to settle, and you can't afford to look back, and we have the tendency to do that. But so we're familiar with that passage, that invitation, right, to Abram to become Abraham and to become the father of faith. But the passage I touched on a couple weeks ago that I want to go back and revisit is found in Genesis chapter 11. So turn the page backwards to Genesis chapter 11. And this is kind of the prequel to that story of Abraham becoming the father of faith. And there's a powerful, profound concept that we have to embrace found in this story. And it says this, verse 27 of Genesis chapter 11. It says, "This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, who would become Abraham, Nahor and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father, Terah, was still living." And so basically what they're saying there is that the father had outlived the son. And I don't know if there's any group of people, I'll mention this, but it bears repeating, that I have more appreciation and respect for than people who lose a child or outlive their children, and especially at young ages, people that lose a child or whatever to sickness or miscarriage or they're stillborn or accidents and still find a way to grapple and wrestle with all the challenges. No doubt the anger that the enemy would try to introduce towards God, and somehow find a way to come out on the other side of that saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I don't have to understand, but I choose to believe that God is good. And my family was marked by this My 12-year-old uncle Danny was killed in a motorcycle accident on the family farm that involved some of the other brothers as they were doing some stunts. Tragic, tragic, tragic accident. I watched, looking back, I could see some of the times where some of the pain in the relationships that was introduced because of that tragedy were maybe manifesting in some of the conversations and interactions I didn't know fully as a kid, but now in hindsight I can see just how traumatic it was and just how many years it took for that trauma to be healed in my family. But I'm grateful to report that they've just stayed faithful. My grandparents, very godly people, and just navigated that. And again, I have no greater appreciation or respect for any group of people than people who come out on the other side of something like that, still trusting God and serving God. And by the way, the week after they buried, my Uncle Danny, and this was before my time, obviously, but the week after they buried him, my granny went down to the end of the road. They're at the family farm, Bushland, Texas, they're west of Amarillo. And she went to the mailbox and she opened it up and there was a letter from the Billy Graham Evangelistical Association and it was addressed to Master Danny Sneederjohn. She opened it up and it said, "Master Danny, we are so excited about your recent decision to give your life to Christ upon watching our nationwide evangelistic crusade last week. Thank you for calling. We want to encourage you. Here's some resources. Get connected to a Bible-believing church." And even in the midst of all that pain and everything that was going on, all the turmoil that was in their hearts, wasn't the Lord good to have set up those circumstances where my grandmother could know with all of her heart that her son, Danny, would be in heaven waiting for her? So this is what's happened to Ra. Is he's lost a son. And if we read on, verse 31, it says, "One day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. And he was headed for the land of Canaan." Canaan is the promised land. "But they stopped at Haran and settled there." They were headed for the promised land, but they came to a place that reminded them of the pain of their past. And they settled. Stopped short of the promised land of God. And isn't it just like the enemy to cause or inflict a place of pain in our life and then continually try to remind us of that pain? Or bring us to a circumstance. So in some translations, the boy Haran and the place Haran are spelled differently. And I just think that's interesting that it just speaks to me about how the enemy will just cause you to go through a circumstance that's just close enough to your painful moment or your painful chapter of life to cause you to have to deal with all those emotions and all that pain and all that rejection in an attempt to keep you stuck or hindered from moving forward towards the promised land for your life, your Canaan, your place of promise. And so they've come to this place of pain and it says they settled there. And it's a trap that the enemy sets for us. We come to that place that reminds us of our past and it can keep us from moving forward. Here's what I want to encourage you with is Romans chapter 8. A profound thing that we could kind of overlook, but I think there's profound intentionality in the way the scripture is worded. And it says this, "And knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Isn't that awesome? We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. And it says, "For I am convinced," I'm convinced. In fact, just say that word, convinced. I'm convinced. I hope that you become convinced of this today. Not just aware of it, but convinced. You know there's a difference. And he's saying, "I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced of this. This is important. This is significant. And I'm convinced that neither life nor death, angels nor demons," catch this, watch this, "neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So he says all these things, but amongst those things he said, neither the present nor the future can keep you from the love of God that you have in Christ Jesus your Lord. Do you notice what's missing right there? The past. The past. So is it an oversight that was made or is it an intentionality? Well, I think it's intentionality because here's the same writer said this, "I haven't apprehended it all, but there's one thing that I've apprehended, and that's forgetting the things that are behind and moving forward towards the future that I have in Christ Jesus." And so is it possible that there's intentionality in this? And here's what's trying to be conveyed. Be careful because your past can actually keep you from moving forward in Christ. And how many people are hindered or held back in bondage because the pain of the past prevents us from moving forward towards the future and the plan and the purpose that God has for us. And here, if that's you today, And it's been me, and in some ways I'm still walking this out, working out with fear and trembling my salvation. The heart of God today is for us to just present. This is not about turning a blind eye to the real stuff, the real issues, the real challenges, the real unforeseen, unexpected things, the real mistakes that we've made. This is about, in a new or a fresh way, just saying, God, just like the people all throughout the Bible, my answer to Jesus' question, do I want to be made well, is yes. And I understand I cannot heal myself, and time heals all wounds is a fallacy. Only Jesus heals all wounds. And today the opportunity is for us to say, Lord, I present that pain, I present that past. And Lord, I thank you that in the ways it's kept me from experiencing in the fullness the love of God and the purposes of God, thank you for healing it today. Paul doubles down, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When he writes this, he says, I don't want to hear of any of you bragging about yourself or anyone else. He's just saying, let's be humble. Everything that God's blessed us with, every good and perfect thing's come from him. All this is based on the work of the cross through Jesus Christ. And then he's going to encourage us about all these blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. And he says it this way. He says, everything is already yours. It belongs to you as a gift, a free gift. And he goes on and he talks about Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, life, death, the present, and the future. All of it is yours. What's missing? The past. The past is missing. Is it possible that it's an oversight, or is it possible that we're seeing a theme here? And he says, neither the present or the future can separate you from the love of God. And he says, all these things belong to you, the present and the future. The past is missing. And here's the powerful point, I believe, is that it's because the past really doesn't belong to us. It was purchased rightfully with the blood of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. And we no longer own it. And here's the thing, it's why it's so painful when we revisit it. Because legally, spiritually speaking, in the spiritual realm, legally, our past has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And it's why when we try to go back to that place, when we try to wear that old garment, inevitably it inflicts pain upon ourselves and others around us, because it no longer belongs to you. Someone needs to catch this today. Someone needs to catch this today. Your past can keep you from moving forward into the fullness of the love and the purposes and the goodness of God, and your past does not belong to you. Stop trying to go back and reacquire it. Stop trying to go back. And listen, I'm preaching to myself in some ways today. I hope you don't mind me preaching on something that I'm still working out in my own life. And it's time to quit going back. Come on, it's like, how many of you ever have garage sales? And how many of you, when your spouse says, let's have a garage sale, you run and you run for cover, you know, or you leave town. I can't leave town when my wife has a garage sale, because I got to come by the garage sale and buy back all my stuff that she's trying to sell, you know, that I wasn't ready to part with. But when we hold on to these things, old things that no longer fit or are out of style, And he's saying in Isaiah 61 says, I'm going to give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. There's an exchange that I want to make. There's a new life. Let's not hang on to those things. Let's cast those cares upon God, because he cares for us. So number one is we can't afford. One of the number one ways, again, Taras settled in a place of pain. We cannot afford to settle in a place of pain. And my hope, my heart, my prayer, and we'll minister to you at the end of the service, is that today, in a new way, in a deeper way, in an immediate way, or in a way that begins a process of submitting to God and resisting the enemy, that there's a new level of freedom and a new level, a new measure of healing from the pain of your past. Do you want to be well? I hope your answer is yes. Number two, we can't afford to get stuck. We tend to get stuck, however, or settle in a place of failure, We can tend to settle because we determine to ourselves it's safer to just stay on the sidelines. The sidelines of church, the sidelines of faith, the sidelines of marriage or business. Maybe you once stepped out and you got burned in a relationship, you got burned in a business partnership, you went back to school and pursued what you thought God was calling you to, and then you couldn't get a job. You tried to give and serve and connect and become a leader in a church, and you got burned relationally there, and you are kind of at the risk of maybe making one of those inner vows, well, I'll never do that again. We can't afford to settle in a place of failure. I'm talking about real mistakes, real misgivings, real things that you thought were going to go one way and went another way. It's one of the most common places that we can tend to settle. And here's the problem with that is oftentimes we go through that mistake and we tend to settle in that place. We make those inner vows, I'll never do that or I'll always do this. And it keeps us from being able to be obedient to the call of God. What do you do when you say, I'll never let a man hurt me, when God calls you to be married and calls you to be loved and to love and to express those things? What do you do when you say, I'll never be a part of a church again, when God's clearly called you to be a part of community and to help to advance the gospel in your community? What do you do when you say, well, I'll never do that again, when God's called you to do something? So we cannot afford to settle in a place of failure. With God, living by faith, failure is never the end of the story. Let me say that again. With God, living by faith, failure is never the end of the story. With God, you can always fail forward. When we fail a test in God's kingdom, we almost always get a chance to take it again. And with God, we get a chance to fail forward. The Bible says, though a righteous person falls, not just a sinner or some flawed person, though a righteous person falls seven times, they get back up and they keep moving forward again. You know, I don't know if you like sports, but I do, so I use sports analogies. And if you Google most three-pointers missed in an NBA game, and if you Google most three-pointers made in an NBA game, you get the same person. His name is Steph Curry. 2016, he went 0 for 10 from the three-point line. That, you know what that means? That means he missed 9 consecutive shots and then sometime thought, hey, it's a good idea for me to shoot another one, you know. A couple years ago, I played basketball with some church guys out in the City Rec League. A few years ago, the first year that I showed up and I saw guys dunking in the warm-up lines and everything, I thought, I am not in Texas anymore, Toto. Like, this is basketball country here, you know. And, you know, but here's the thing is, I mean, after about 4 or 5 consecutive missed three-pointers, I mean, my butt would have been on the bench, you know, riding the pine. The only thing I'd been contributing the rest of the game is maybe some exhortation from the bench, you know, to the other guys. Steph Curry missed 9 shots and kept shooting. And the very next game, against the New Orleans Pelicans, which maybe his confidence was just kind of boosted because he was playing a team whose mascot was the Pelicans. That's not a very fearsome mascot, right? Like, we're the Pelicans. We will beak you to death or peck you to death, you know? He went 13 for 15, set the record for most three-pointers in a game. I think it's been eclipsed since then in 2021. Here's the point. You got to keep shooting. You'll miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And the spiritual principle is really applicable. There's so many people who have gone 0 for 10 and they say, well, I guess I'm not called to shoot. I guess I'm not called to love, to be loved, to serve, to have a purpose. And I'm telling you, God's calling you back off of the sidelines of faith, of community, of love, of daring to dream, of stepping out in faith to do something adventurous with your life or big or bold with your life. To those who have settled in the place of failure, God today is calling you back into the game. And God's calling you to begin taking those shots again. God's calling you to begin to trust him again. Maybe it really went one way a certain time in your life, but come on, you need to have faith to believe that what the world calls a failure, God looks at it and says, that was an opportunity to learn, to see my faithfulness, and to advance and to move forward towards the purposes, the promises, and the people that I have for your life. Number 3, we can't. This is kind of the flip side of this. We can't afford to settle in a place of success. In a place of success. And a pastor that I admire said it this way, nothing hinders future success like current success. Because sometimes in a place of blessing and success, we get kind of complacent, right? We get comfortable. We settle in. And so we cannot become stuck or stagnant or stale or stuck in a place of success. I want to make a strong statement, but I believe it to be true. Many people, especially in America, Christians in America are actually in bondage because of blessing. So let me establish something here. God loves to bless his people. And I know there's a lot of different ways we can talk about blessing and prosperity, but I'm actually talking about, in many ways, the context is finances, right? Like physical, temporal blessings. And God loves to bless his people. The love of money is not the root of all evil, or money, rather, is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil, right? God loves to bless his people. The blessing of Abraham had a strong impact on the physical blessings, the temporal blessings that God released to Abraham. And now through the book of Galatians, it tells us that you have the blessing of Abraham through Christ Jesus. So let me just make a couple more powerful statements, and that's this. Poverty and lack are not virtues in God's kingdom. If you've ever visited third world countries, you know that poverty and lack are not virtuous. and that God desires to bless his people, and we need kingdom-minded, Jesus-following, entrepreneurial, business-minded people. We need people to walk in the fullness of the blessing of Abraham, to be blessed, so that the blessing of Abraham had this command along with it. I'm blessing you so that all the nations of the world can be blessed, so that all the families of the earth can be blessed. We need people to walk in the prosperity and the blessing and the favor and the insight and the wisdom of God, to be blessed abundantly so that you can be a blessing to others, so that you can build the church, advance the kingdom, help start the mission, bless the ministry, launch the church campus. We need to see the prosperity of God flowing towards the people of God so that resources can be released to the kingdom of God. Someone say amen. Amen. But one of the challenges is this. One of the hallmarks of spiritual maturity is this. How much can God bless you and you still desperately need him? Isn't it really kind of the struggle? Like, when things are going good, we can kind of drift from our dependency upon God until we run into the next crisis, and then we're back on our knees. And here's the hallmark of spiritual maturity. Let's grab a hold of this. Let's determine to be a people that are kind of postured and qualified in God's sight to be blessed abundantly by him. Man, wouldn't that be a cool thing to see happen in increasing ways? It's already happening in many ways. Wouldn't that be a cool thing to see happen in increasing ways in this church body, this family, this community of faith? Let's make a determination to say, God, you can pour out your blessing upon me in temporal, practical ways, and I'll still desperately pursue you. How much can God release to you and you still run to him? How much can God provide to you and you still pursue him? Verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit leads to blessing. God wants to bless us abundantly so that we can be a blessing. But in the midst of the blessing, he wants us to realize in our spirit that every day, if I don't wake up poor in spirit, every day if I don't wake up and I don't shake that beggar's cup before God and say, God, today without you, I'm wretched and I'm miserable. Today without you, it's amazing how quickly I can operate in my flesh. I can get judgmental or bitter or angry or unforgiving. Today, I'm poor in spirit. God, would you bless me abundantly so that I can be a blessing, but in the midst of the temporal blessings that you pour out upon me so that I can be a blessing to my family, to my church, to leave an inheritance to my children's children, in the midst of all those blessings, I'm going to commit to realize that if I have everything in this world, but I don't have you, I've got nothing. And I can gain the whole world and lose my soul. One of the hallmarks of spiritual maturity, how much can God bless you and you still desperately need him? True freedom cannot be purchased, acquired, owned. It can't be counted. It can't be built, driven, or worn. It can't be traveled to. It's only found in an ongoing, on-fire relationship with Jesus Christ. Number four, so we can't afford to get to settle in, and we have a tendency to settle into a place of complacency when we're in a time of blessing or success. Number four. We can't, and this is going to maybe offend some religious ideas, so just get your toes ready to be stepped on, all right? We can't afford to settle in the place of the cross. Well, what do you mean, Pastor T? Many people experience salvation and are on their way to heaven. Their ticket is punched, and they settle in that place. The urgent need was for forgiveness. The ultimate goal is to become a kingdom-minded, scripture-quoting, spirit-filled, prophesying, kingdom-building man, woman, or young person of God. And we can tend to settle in that place where we're good with God, and then we just say, I'm going to live the way I want to live. And there's a call to spiritual growth, to move beyond the shadow of the cross. The call of God, once you've been saved, is actually to pick up your cross and get moving. And begin to make a difference in the lives of others. Don't settle for a lukewarm relationship with God. Don't settle for occasional or casual church attendance or Christianity. Come on, men of God. I know I just said it, but I just feel like it's worth speaking directly to the men of God. There's a scripture memorizing, Bible quoting, spirit filled man of prayer, man of the word, prophesying over your wife and your family, making a difference in your workplace and your community version of you that maybe you are yet to meet. And it's on the other side of saying, I'm grateful for the cross and I'm grateful for the eternity that it provided for me, but I am not going to settle in that place. On the contrary, my response to the grace of God is my commitment to grow in my knowledge of God and in His purposes and His calling that rest upon my life. Come on, someone ought to say amen. Number five, we'll end right here. And that's in a place of rejection. In a place of rejection, we can tend to settle in a place of rejection. And because love and acceptance are perhaps two of our strongest needs, one of the greatest strategies and schemes of the enemy is rejection. Rejection that causes us to kind of shrink back, shy away from relationship, from community. And man, I don't know that any of us is immune from this. I think the sense or the feeling of rejection, I think we start experiencing that, I don't know, about first grade. You know what it feels like to be ostracized, to be rejected, to not feel wanted or appreciated. And I believe God really wants to heal and deal with the practical cause, the root issue, the relationship or the words that were spoken over you. I mean, really, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you can even remember something hurtful or hateful or whatever that was spoken over you on the school playground back when you were, I mean, I can. And you remember the pain, the sting of that rejection. And the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's the divider of relationship. And so it's one of his key schemes, his key strategies, because he knows that love and acceptance are two of our greatest needs. And so God wants to heal the words, the relationship. But here's really what I want to encourage you with is that on this side of eternity, there's going to be opportunity for pain and rejection in relationship. And the only way to fill the void and to heal the wounds of our heart is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the problem when that hinges on what people say or do. Is that if we allow what people say or do to us to kind of keep us from moving forward in freedom and faith towards the purposes and plans of God for our life, if we allow people to put us in that bondage, it requires the same people to set us free. And some of you have been waiting for them to ask for forgiveness or for them to make it right or whatever. And I think, and again, I think God really cares about that. In his heart, he would like to see that happen. But today, in the meantime, the opportunity that lies before you is to say, I'm no longer going to allow what they did, what they said, what they didn't do that I needed them to do or say in my life to keep me in a place of bondage. And I'm going to build my life and my future on a deepening knowledge that Jeremiah 31 reveals to us, where it says, for I have loved you with an everlasting love. With a deepening awareness and knowledge, come on, that we hold on to and fiercely protect, that is found in Hebrews 13, where it says, for he himself, speaking of the Lord Jesus, has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Your good days, your bad days, the world might reject you, and God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It's an everlasting love. It's not conditional. It's not fragile. It's always there. It's always there. Would you stand to your feet today? And as you stand today, just let's do what I often encourage us to do. Would you just right there as you're standing, just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? Lord, what are you speaking to me today? What are you revealing to me? What are you reminding me of? What are you highlighting? What are you revealing? Anytime the Lord reveals, I understand this topic could kind of get in to some stuff, and I'm not trying to dredge up things. When God shines his light, when God reveals something, it's because he wants to heal something. When the enemy kind of takes you back to that place, it's because he's trying to cause you to get stuck. When God brings conviction or starts to speak into something, it's because he's trying to heal it in a way that allows you to begin to move forward in freedom and faith. And so, Lord, what are you speaking to us today? Where's there a pain from our past? Where's there a root of rejection? Where's there an inner vow or an iniquity, a mindset, a pattern that has kind of held me back, hindered me? Maybe today you're in that place of success. Life's going good. You're blessed in many ways, your health, your finances. And today you realize that kind of where you've settled is you've just not been as fervent about pressing into God and pursuing him and depending upon him and growing in him. And today that's your commitment, is just say, man, Lord, I'll keep pouring out your blessing, but in this season, my response is going to be to desperately run after you in the midst of the blessing, to not have to get to the place of crisis or chaos before I turn back to you. Put my trust in you. Maybe today there's a mindset or a stronghold of sin, and today that's your place of freedom. My prayer, my hope, my heart is that today, again, there would be two different categories of testimonies, that today, right now, as I begin to pray for you in a moment, that there will be some instantaneous, miraculous salvation, deliverance, freedom, chains falling, hitting the ground today. And then some other ways, there will be a commitment to say, man, I realize that thing has had me in bondage, that area. And today, that I'm committed to begin to walk out the process of submitting it to God and resisting the devil, that he would flee and I would experience freedom. So, Lord, that's my prayer. I speak over every stronghold, every bondage. Lord, my voice, but in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, I speak to strongholds, bondages, iniquities, inner vows, anything and everything that has hindered or held back the precious people of God, your children, from moving forward in freedom and faith towards your promises. We break those things in the name of Jesus. You said clearly that what we bind on earth would be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. That's what we're doing right now. We're binding those things in Jesus' mighty name. And we're loosing the opposite spirit, the promise that's on the other side of the freedom, Lord. Let that begin to become real to us, God. Your love, your goodness, your faithfulness, even in the midst of those seasons of rejection or abandonment or chaos or mistakes or failures, Lord, your faithfulness to us, Lord, we begin to just tether ourselves towards your promises, God, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that this would be, Lord, a season where we as a church congregation, as a family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, would just commit ourselves to receive, Lord, new levels of your freedom that you have for us, that any place where we've settled or gotten comfortable or complacent, Lord, that you just gracious, he's so tender towards you today. Did you know that? The Bible says that a bruised wick, he will not break. A smoldering candle, maybe that flame is just barely burning in your heart, and the Bible says that God will not snuff it out or extinguish it. He comes alongside and he cups his hand over it to protect you when you're in that vulnerable moment, and he begins to just breathe upon that flame in your heart today. He's so tender towards you today. He knows what you really went through or what you're really up against. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that today. Thank you for new levels of freedom, God, and what it's going to lead to, God. Moving forward in our faith, Lord. Fresh atmospheres, God, in our relationship with you, in marriages and hearts and homes. Thank you, Lord, that's what this is about, Lord. Not just focusing on behind, but Lord, we're breaking these things so we can begin to move forward to the promises of God, to the promised land of God. We don't want to settle. We want to be the ones that step into everything you've promised. We want to be there, God, in Jesus' name. As you could just continue to receive right there whatever God's doing uniquely and specifically in your personal life, I want to give people the opportunity before we worship one more time and dismiss you, get you about your day, give people the opportunity to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You're here today, you're weighed down by the reality of your sin and maybe the guilt and shame and condemnation that the enemy uses to beat you up with it. And today, the message of the gospel is that there's a free gift of salvation, an opportunity for a new start, a new life, all the old things to be washed away as far as the east is from the west, and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so if that's you, or maybe you're here today and you've just drifted from God, you loved God, maybe once even served Him, but you've gotten busy with life or the cares of this world, or maybe made some bad choices, you're what the Bible describes as a prodigal son or daughter, one that's just drifted from God. And if that's you today, the posture of the Father towards you today is the same as in that parable that Jesus told. His arms are wide open to you. And not only that, but He's eagerly looking for, longing for, and anticipating this moment when you would come back to Him. He doesn't hold you at arm's length. He welcomes you back in relationship today. And so if that's you, you need forgiveness, or you need to come home, rededicate yourself, come back into the arms of your Father. Right now, don't wait, don't delay. Right now, would you just slip your hand in the air and say, that's me. I need forgiveness. That's me. I need to come home, to come back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more moment. You're not responding to a person or a preacher. You're responding to your Father. And His arms are wide open to you today. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for what these raised hands represent, Lord. This is an outward sign of an inward work that God's doing, making things new, washing you clean. The blood of Jesus Christ. If you raised your hand, you could lower it in this room and online. And here's what we're going to do. And we're going to pray this prayer with you today. We want you to hear the sound of brothers and sisters in Christ supporting you today. And we do it for a second reason. Every week, it just reminds us that we never graduate from grace. God's growing us, building us, maturing us in our faith, new levels of freedom and faith, but it's all built on an unmerited foundation of grace, right? So let's pray this prayer. Come on, quite a few amazing, precious people came to Christ or came home to their Father today. Let's pray this prayer with them. Pray it boldly today. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life. I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, I'll never be the same. Come on, say that again. I'll never be the same. And then put your hands together with all of heaven to rejoice for those precious people that came home to Christ today. Hey, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, go this week and contend for freedom. Don't let the enemy put you in that box again. God's heart for us is to live in freedom, amen? I'd be praying for you to experience it and walk it out and to have the grace to submit those things to God. Resist the enemy, watch him flee so you can run in freedom. Hey, let's, I know we're running a little bit late, but let's worship the Lord one more time together, and then we'll dismiss him. God bless you, I love you.